listening to the AHDB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business. Hello, and welcome to the cereals and oilseeds episode of the AHDB podcast. I'm Tom Hebert. This week, we have another short episode looking at markets. Following this week's news about the unprecedented drop in the price of oil, AHDB's arable market specialists discuss what this means for the cereals and oilseeds sector. As usual, the team will discuss both the domestic and global trends, as well as the latest on how coronavirus continues to affect markets. This week's guests are David Udall and Anthony Spate.
Welcome to another AHDB podcast from the Market Intelligence team. My name's David Udall. I'm head of arable market specialists within AHDB. And today with me, I have one of our bright upcoming analysts, Anthony Spate. Hello, Anthony.
Hello.
We are here to talk about a few different things. Going to be looking at the domestic impact of coronavirus on UK markets and looking at it from a global point of view. It's the morning of Tuesday, the 21st of April, when we're recording this. So we are in the aftermath of oil prices going negative. So we'll be talking about global macroeconomic side of things, as well as a grain and oil seed side of things. Anthony, kicking off, handing over to you first. UK-wise, what's the latest? What's the score at the moment?
A couple of weeks ago, we actually saw the UK domestic wheat market supported from panic buying and a weaker currency. We also saw bread premiums increase. However, in the last couple of weeks, this has subsequently reduced and we've actually seen sterling gain strength. So we're actually currently, with the large spread between old and new crop futures at the moment, we're actually set to carry out a large amount of grain into the next marketing year because we're still trading over import parity. We're going to actually have to see further reduction to be competitive at an export level. Furthermore to that, during the coronavirus outbreak, who's actually going to want to logistically start an export campaign? So I can actually see a substantial carryover into the next marketing year as we go into a wheat deficit. But looking on a global scale, just around the coronavirus in general, the main risk for the agricultural sector there's going to be high volatility of prices. There's going to be hindering of financial resources as we head into autumn and planting. And there's also going to be logistical problems. And on an international scale, we've seen movement restrictions put in place. So we'll see how that plays out for the supply of grain going forward.
So you were saying there about UK prices, and I'm looking at the London futures market this morning, and we've got NOV 20 trading around 167. May 20 closed yesterday, so say 154. You know, a 13 quid spread between the two is pretty huge. So like you say, you're expecting kind of big stocks, but then, you know, I was talking to consumers and traders last night, and they were saying that wheat is now, you know, well over £20 a ton above both maize and barley for forward positions. So yeah, it seems as if wheat is kind of separate a little bit at the moment, and I guess we're being protected by weak sterling, but it just seems as if that wheat market, I don't know, it's got a little bit of fragility in the long term, just sort of like generalizing prices a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, I can see the new crop getting carried away, but obviously as we head into a wheat deficit, it's only inevitable that prices are going to increase.
There's risks going forwards. I think we're kind of in that slight panic phase of markets still, that it's all uncertain and no one really knows what's going on. And, you know, yesterday, on like Monday the 20th, prices shot up 4 or 5 euros in Paris and we were at 4 or 5 pounds because, you know, the US market was up on sort of slightly dodgy crop conditions over there because it was cold in Kansas. Then you had like Egypt coming and buying a lot and talk of Russian restrictions on exports. But it kind of feels as if that's all a bit of a short-term thing. And, you know, we're very quickly approaching May. You're going to get Eastern European harvests kicking off in the second half of May into June. June onwards just seems a bit risky for prices from a fundamental point of view.
Yeah, and we've still got to engage with a weather market as well. It's been quite dry in the Black Sea region recently. And, you know, as we head into the grain filling stages, that will be something to watch out for as well.
We wanted to talk about the global markets as well, and we can't not talk about oil considering arse fell out of the market yesterday.
Yeah, 300% down.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like you were saying a minute ago, you know, people paying to take oil is absolutely crazy.
I'd love to pull up to the fuel station. Someone say to me, I'll pay you to fill your car. That would be the best thing ever.
That would save the economy.
Yeah, but even with OPEC Plus trying to agree outputs a couple of weeks ago, and they've come to an agreement of 10 million barrels per day, people are still talking about, is that actually enough? I mean, the coronavirus has affected the demand for oil. I can't see it stemming the massive plunge that prices have taken in the recent weeks, even with the production cut. I think also what's quite interesting was the US Energy Information Administration's downward revision of oil consumption from their March to April release. But at the moment, the information around the coronavirus is still evolving every day, even though we've had this for the last couple of months. We don't have a handbook on this, almost, on what to do in this situation. Linking to domestically, we've seen rapeseed prices pressured along with other agricultural products which are utilized by the energy sector. But I think what's key to know, David, is that fundamentals still exist, especially around vegetable oils, as we have seen rapeseed and palm oil actually at the start of the year have a relationship with the pressure of crude oil, but then have moments where they do actually move away as people have been panic buying for vegetable oil. You know, we've seen the increase in home cooking as everybody's in lockdown, and also Ramadan and the demand for palm oil.
So do you think, from a sort of global oil point of view, looking at Brent crude now sort of trading around the $21-$22 barrel when we're talking about it today, it kind of feels as if that's got lower. It's, you know, and it's got a bit of sort of downward trajectory still to play out.
Yeah.
But like you say, there's those sort of strong demand fundamentals that could just slightly help. But you know, there's probably some bad news we've got to get through before the good news reel starts to get factored in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the demand for bioethanol as well has dropped off a cliff. And, you know, we've got recent academic studies that could see 5 to 6 million tons added onto the ending stock of the United States maize production, their carryover, sorry.
Yeah.
So we could see higher ending stocks. And we've also seen, like I said, the demand for crushing ethanol in general has just dropped off a cliff edge. We've got the lowest weekly barrel production of ethanol, and they've also got very high inventories. But I think the pace at which lockdowns are uplifted will have an impact on fuel consumption and thus consumption for maize and ethanol going forward. But we've got to also note we've got a very bearish outlook for US maize, as you know, the latest planting intentions have shown that they're possibly going to have one of the largest crops on record next season. So again, we've got to factor that into the account.
And we're going to find out more about that over the next few weeks. I noticed that the US, the weekly crop progress report that they put out, has started showing maize plantings in it now, hasn't it? So we'll be able to keep track on what's going on with that. And you know, last year we saw a real wet spring in the US that prevented them from planting. I think, you know, the weather is looking all right over there at the moment, so it might be a bit on the cold side, but it's nothing that's disastrous as it was last year at the moment. So I think if we see more US planting, it's just going to increase the discount of maize to wheat, and that's a big risk for new crop prices from a UK point of view, because like you're saying, if we've got a big carryover, and we've got, even if we do have a, say, 10.5 million ton crop, if you've got maize prices that are 25-30 pounds a ton below the wheat price, nutritionally you're going to go to maize and you're going to go to barley. You're not going to use wheat. So the market does rebalance. And I think that's kind of like something I think about a lot at the moment, is we're seeing these real big extreme swings in market conditions. But it is just the basic fundamentals of supply and demand economics just happening in a really short amount of time. And the market is just like rebalancing overnight and finding a new equilibrium, which is pretty crazy.
I think what's also quite interesting is how there's also been like this threat of global food like security, as we've seen a lot of large exporting nations impose export quotas, especially from the Black Sea region. We've seen Russia, you know, they've imposed a 7 million ton tariff for the rest of this season. And there's predictions that this could actually be used up by mid-May. Furthermore, Romania, they've stopped exporting to outside of the EU, and the Ukraine, they've imposed 2 million tons left for the rest of the season. So once they've reached 20 million tons, their export campaign is actually going to stop. So this has all been done to maintain prices within the country and not, you know, not have huge inflation of bread prices, which is, you know, it's quite interesting how people use almost food is being used as a power almost. Who needs oil anymore? They're giving oil away.
Oil, you know, if you don't have a working economy globally, oil has lost its value. And like, you know, if you take that further and you think of like the big sort of like, you know, the political posturing around the world, you've had those, you know, petro states of Saudi Arabia and Russia that have basically been gaining their stance in the world over the last 20 years. If oil is $15 a barrel, then you know, they're really going to struggle as a wider economy and try to sort of project their impact. So I'd like to say thanks, Anthony, for your time and having a chat. We'll continue to put more updates on our websites, and we'll continue to do these sort of short and sweet podcasts just to give an update on where we think the world is at the moment. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch, use social media, go via the website, drop us an email, and we will speak to you all again very soon.
For more information on markets, be sure to visit our website at ahdb.org.uk/cereals-allseeds-markets. For regular updates, scroll to the bottom of the page to sign up for daily market news straight to your inbox. For support during the coronavirus outbreak, visit ahdb.org.uk/coronavirus. The page contains advice and resources to help you during the crisis.